A look at Connecticut high school football action. Sunday morning quarterback on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday Morning Quarterback. I'm Dave Rudin, and we're coming off a bye week. Always hate the bye weeks, especially since it seems like the season just started a couple of weeks ago, but no games, but that doesn't mean we don't have a lot to talk about. It's the midway point, and there's a lot to analyze and some midseason awards, and there's a game of interest next Friday night. We've got 1-2, New Canaan and Greenwich, and we're going to preview that game a little bit later with star linebackers from each of the two teams, Jack Kelly from Greenwich and Mikey Harriman from New Canaan. With me, as always, Sean Ireland. And Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
All right. Well, actually, I know a little bit about how you spent the bye weekend off. What was weird? What did you do instead of keeping up on football?
It was good. My wife's family came down from New Hampshire, so we got to hang out with them. We brought them to a few of the local establishments around town. So the weather was great. Big game this week. Dave, you said there's no games. Just so you know, the Vikings 8th grade beat the Giants 42-41 in overtime. So huge game this weekend.
Okay. I hope the Giants today have a little bit better success.
But, I don't see that happen.
I got to tell you, and I'm a Giant fan, and I think they beat me down. I can't believe the over-exuberance coming off the Philadelphia win. Philadelphia is a mess, but I don't know if people are just so hunger-starved Giant fans for some wins, but it all of a sudden seems like the last 10 years have been forgotten, and all of a sudden we're Super Bowl contenders. So it was a nice win, but go out and do it again today and you know, build on things, and then I'll have that same kind of exuberance.
Yeah, I mean, even though their record's not great, I was talking with my friends about it. At least they're exciting now. You know, there's a reason to watch with Dart and Scadavu. So at least there's something exciting going on with them.
That's funny. They play the Broncos. I texted Zach Allen the other day, and I said, be gentle on us because the middle of our offensive line's terrible, and everybody's overreacting to the Philadelphia win. And he laughed at it and sent me back. It's always fun going against my favorite childhood team. So I wouldn't be surprised if Zach and his colleagues on the line have some sacks. But anyhow, why don't we start off here with, and we're going to get to the big games this weekend, New Canaan and Greenwich. And I don't want to forget, because it's Saturday, a game of great importance as well, Darien St. Joseph. But why don't we do our midseason awards and start with that. And, you know, I think that the storyline so far been we have six FCAC teams in the top 10. I'm not certain all of them belong there, but we have six right now, which is just kind of mind-boggling. And, I can't say that there's anything been overly stunning, just a couple of teams that are maybe a little bit better than we thought, but it's just kind of been a run-of-the-mill first half of the season in my eyes. What about you?
Yeah, two of the five games that we played were crossover games, you know, so those are always exciting, and our teams fared very well in those games. I agree with you, Dave. Six teams in the top 10 from the SEC. Again, I don't know much of the other state. You know, I'm not well-versed. But it seems a little mush with what's going on. You know, it's not a knock, but, you know, if you're a top 10 team, you should not lose 41-7. You know, if you're a top 10 team, you should not lose 31-6. You know, so and I'm just talking right now, Dave. I'm not saying they can't or shouldn't be in the top 10 by the end of the year. I'm just talking about right now.
I'll tell you, and this is why I would prefer, and I understand why you do a poll right off the bat, and it's fun to talk about and everything, but you have some teams. I've not voted Darien in the top 15 every week, and I don't think I've ever had them in the top 10 yet. To be quite honest, I don't know where Darien belongs, but and I get this too because I probably do it with other parts of the state that you're not familiar with. But you know, Darien, first poll, you a lot of times you don't know who's got what, so you kind of go with the teams that traditionally have done well, and Darien certainly traditionally has done well. But they got, I forget if they were fourth, I think maybe in the first poll. And so they're kind of, in most of the eyes of the way you vote, if you're fourth, you're staying up there. And if you lose a game, you're not dropping too far. And that's kept Darien in the top 10 so far. I just think, and I saw them against Staples, I just thought all the losses they had from graduation and transfers was a little bit too much. So I did the poll yesterday, and I think I had them 14th. I did get them in there, but a lot of these things also is just people kind of use their first poll as a basis, and the first poll, and I vote, I can tell you as much as anybody, is a lot of guesswork.
Yeah, Dave, and we talked earlier in the year about this. I hate the preseason polls. I truly do, because it's just based on past seasons, which isn't fair. Right now, if you took, I'll just use within the SEC, if you took Darien, crossed their name out, put Fairfield Ludlow on top with the same record, same everything, and then you put Darien where Ludlow is, you know, just switch the names of the teams, but everything else is the same, Darien would still be where they are and Ludlow would be where they are just because of the name of the school. And I just think it's crazy. Why not wait till week five? You know, wait till week four. I don't know.
It's fun for game time to have the poll. I'm not gonna knock them for doing that by any means, and everybody likes talking about the poll. It's just that I don't see teams outside the FCAC. I try to talk to other people, and you go a lot by scores, but I have no idea at the first poll who outside the FCAC has what coming back. A lot of us writers, we when we get the email to submit the ballots, we try to share information in our own readership areas for everybody else. But it's just, I think you gotta, I kind of do the first poll, and then I almost disregard it when I start doing the voting for week two, and even some into week three. And like I said, I don't even know where Darien belongs right now. I don't know. I still think Staples is really good, but the size of the loss against Wilton just makes you wonder a little bit. I can't remember where I put. I think I had Staples and St. Joe's like 9-10, something like that.
Yeah, and that's, I think, I mean, St. Joe's, I can make the argument that they could be higher. Even though they have two losses, you know, they could be a little bit higher. But I think that's very appropriate for Staples, you know. And, again, these teams can all move up. You know, Staples has a heck of a second-half schedule, so they can definitely earn their way back up into the top three if they win out, you know, even top two maybe. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. That's why, you know, that's why we have a second half of the season, Dave. A lot of the big boys are going to line up against each other, so they're going to let it all play out on the field.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we, to get things broken up here, why don't we take our break here, and then we come back. Let's hand out some mid-season awards. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, Sean and I are back, and let's hand out some midseason awards right now. And I think the first one, and Sean and I are kind of figuring out categories here, because I think most outstanding player and MVP could be two different awards. The best player is the best player. I always say with the MVP, it's if you took that player off the team, it would have the biggest effect on the team. It would hurt the team more than taking a player off another team. So to me, that could be two different people. But the way I did it, just to make it a little different, is I'm doing a player of the year, which I'll explain the MVP after. But I don't think, Sean, anybody can dispute Andrew Esposito of New Canaan as player of the year so far. I think right now he's a leading candidate for Gatorade Player of the Year. And with all due respect, and Hector Lopez at Greenwich is having a tremendous season. He would be my number two pick right now. But Esposito, and not just because of what he's doing on offense, but he's doing it on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Dave, when I started looking into this, the two guys I had up top right away were Andrew and Hector. You know, what they are doing for both their teams is unbelievable. You know, they do have a great supporting cast around them, which helps, but they are definitely the cream of the crop on each of their teams respectively. You know, Andrew's a threat both sides of the ball. Wide receiver, they line him up in the backfield. They line him up in the, you know, in their power run set. He's in the secondary. Like, he scored the only touchdown against St. Joe's, and it was a defensive touchdown. You know, what he's doing is it's unbelievable. And like you said, it's no slight to Hector Lopez at all, because if Andrew wasn't here, he's the clear favorite for best player in the league. You know, 1A, 1B, but I think you have to go with Andrew, just slightly over Hector.
He's doing it both ways. As we said, he's known as a receiver. He's averaging 15.9 yards per his 21 receptions, has three touchdowns. New Canaan, and they started doing this late last year, they wanted to get him more touches, so they put him in the backfield out of the Wildcat, and he's carried the ball 18 times for 100 yards and three touchdowns. And then if that's not enough, playing in the secondary, he has 15 tackles already. And, of course, that big pick six that you alluded to, the 62-yard touchdown return for a touchdown, and that was the deciding factor in their 7-3 win over St. Joe's. He could get Gatorade Player of the Year. He's certainly on track right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, what he's doing, it's really unbelievable. It really is.
Okay, and actually a year ago at this time I was saying he was going to be the breakout player at the preseason, and then we're kind of looking at this, I guess, as either breakout player or in some combination if you want to go MVP, but nobody knew the name Dennis Dustin at the beginning of the season except for E.J. DeNunzio and everybody inside Wilton program and in the town. And if you want to talk about MVP over most outstanding player, yeah, it's almost like a dynamic duo what Charlie Calabrese, a quarterback, and Dustin are doing together. It's just Calabrese has 626 yards rushing and 615 throwing, and Dustin's rushed for 578 yards and 10 touchdowns. And has nine catches and two touchdowns. He's actually averaging 20 yards of reception. So if you wanted to do MVP, if you took Calabrese and if you took Esposito off New Canaan, New Canaan's still going to be a really, really good team. If you take Dustin and Calabrese off of Wilton, you know, we're not even talking about them right now. That would have the most adverse effect. But I kind of put it in terms of a breakout player. And Dustin has just been fantastic for Wilton.
Yeah, for breakout player, I had Dennis written down also. You know, him and Charlie, the two-headed monster, you know, you can't just focus on one of them, okay? You focus on one, the other one's going to get you. So a lot of the attention, deservedly so, is going on Calabrese, so that's leaving Dustin having a huge year. And I agree with you 100%, Dave. If if you take Dennis, Dustin off of Wilton, they're not where they are right now. They're not 5-0. You know, Dennis, is, what he's doing right now is tremendous.
Yep, and EJ knew, and I kind of sense this a little bit, not it being Dustin, but Wilton was the first team I saw in the preseason, and EJ was very high on the team, but I think EJ knew he was holding some aces that nobody else did, and he's been talking about how he knew how good a player Dustin was going to be, just his field vision, which we talked about last week. One touchdown run against Staples, I could still see him weaving back and forth and popping through and finding some openings there, but he's certainly given them a big element. Why don't we talking about EJ DeNunzio, is there any question who the coach of the year is right now?
I think there could be a little debate here. I think EJ is the front runner, but I think what Mitch Ross is doing needs to be mentioned. I don't think anybody had Ludlow at 4-1 right now. You know, they only had two returning starters. So I think you could make the case for Mitch Ross and also Christian Parisi. Nobody's giving Ward any love yet. You know, they're 4-1. You know, they have a big game coming up, obviously. We'll see where they really are this week. But I think right now, if we were voting for Coach of the Year, it has to be EJ.
Yep, and I agree. We'll get to Ludlow in a second with the next award for me. And again, Christian Parisi, they've won all these games. Their schedule will get a little tougher. But, they're 4-1 right now, and I think if you asked everybody at Ward, would they sign on for that back in August? Absolutely. But, you know, EJ doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, for just his whole body of work. I mean, he's been there 8 years. He's coached 7 years with discounting the COVID season. And already he's got 48 wins. He's 48-23. He's doubled his loss total. And he's come in. Nobody really knew who he was. And he's just done an absolutely tremendous job in making Wilton a consistent winner. You know, they got to state final a couple of years ago. They've been to the state playoffs 2 years ago. They should be back this year with a good chance to maybe win the Double M title. They're the only public school in the FCAC that's not in Double L or L. St. Joe's a private school in M. But he's just done he's made Wilton a consistent winner that doesn't get talked about. And, we always say they're the top of the second tier, and you could debate, are they the bottom of the first tier? Either one right now, but it's just a testament to what he's done that we're talking about him. And, he's just done a great job this year, but this isn't like all of a sudden he came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's doing tremendous things there. Right now, I have Wilton as the third best team in the FCAC. I really do. So for this year, I think they're tier one as of right now. Dave, you used a perfect word in your explanation, consistent. And that's exactly what Wilton has been. You know, you're running a good program where last year I believe they went 5-5, and it was a huge disappointing year. I know there's a lot of schools in the state, in the league, that, hey, I'll sign up right now to go 5-5. So for them to go 5-5, it's a disappointment. You know, you know you're doing something right. And, and we talked about it last week, Dave. There's not many people better in the league just as a human being than him. He's just a great guy.
Nope, absolutely. I agree with you. And the other thing, we're talking about how they're a smaller school. That means they usually have fewer players, and they don't normally have the depth. And they don't this year have the depth that some of the other top 10 teams do. They're going to have a tough time handling if they get a serious injury that could really they're not going to have the kind of bench that other teams do. So, well, we'll see. But EJ for Coach of the Year. And then I put surprise team, the surprise team who we didn't expect. And Wilton, I mean, we could put Wilton again because I don't think anybody expected them to be 5-0 or ranked 6th in the state right now. We knew they were going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be this good. But I will also, and we got to fit them in somewhere. Yeah, I'll give Fairfield Ludlow at 4-1 the surprise team because I think a lot of people thought this was a rebuilding year and this was the year Ludlow maybe sinks to, you know, 3 wins, 4 wins, and that hasn't been the case. And with Ryan Love at quarterback, Liam Bond doing a little bit of everything, and a team that only has 6 seniors in the starting lineup really flourishing, Ludlow's been a surprise. And again, with only 6 seniors, they're not built just for this year, but they're built for next year and maybe beyond.
Yeah, my 2 surprise teams are the same as yours, Dave. I have Ludlow. You know, just the fact that they're 4-1, and they only have 2 guys coming back. You know, 2 starters returning, I should say. You know, and they're doing against tough teams. It's not like they're, you know, it's not like they're beating bottom tier teams. They're winning good games against good football teams. You know, they had a tough game with Wilton. Wilton, you know, ended up pulling away at the end, but Wilton is legit, and they were right in that game. So I have Ludlow as a surprise team of the year. Wilton, I'm not surprised that where they are. I'm surprised how they got there. I mean, they are how they're winning games, Dave. 42-0, 35-12, 35-23, 41-7 against Staples. So how they're beating teams, that's what I'm surprised at.
Yeah, that was the eye-opening going into Westport on homecoming and just totally dominating that game was just a surprise. And, you know, we'll next week we're going to talk about a lot of other games, but quickly before we go to a break, Ludlow plays Trumbull, and that's almost a must-win game, and you say, why? And that's a game that's sort of 50-50-ish. And they've got to play three top 10 teams coming off of that before finishing with Fairfield Ward. So I think for Ludlow to be able to stay in the hunt for a state playoff bid, which would be their 2nd in a row and 2nd ever, they need to beat Trumbull.
Yeah, and this is one of those scary games. You know, like you look at Trumbull's record, okay, you know, they're 2-3. You know, they're really not scoring points at all. You know, take away the Bridgeport Central win. They're not scoring at all. But at the same token, you got Mark Petrasso on the other side with a week off in between games. I think that's going to be a dogfight. But you are right. This is a must-win. If Ludlow wants to make the stage, this is one that they have to win.
Kind of strange talking about Trumbull being a – being a spoiler at this point, but with their schedule. Anyhow, Sean, why don't we take a break and we'll come back with the storylines for the second half of the season after we got a couple of interviews from some guys who have some plans for their Friday night already set. We're going to preview the New Canaan-Greenwich game, and joining us on the other side is star linebacker and running back for Greenwich, Jack Kelly. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. Friday night, New Canaan High School, 5-0. 1-2, it's the game of the year. It's been circled on everybody's calendar since the schedule came out. And let the hype begin. We're going to start right now. And joining us, one of the leaders of, we'll discuss one of the two best linebacking crews in the state and a pretty good running back, too. And that's Jack Kelly of Greenwich. Jack, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, so I'm sure this game has been circled, though it's kind of been put on the back burner for 3 or 5. What's it like for you guys right now that it's finally here?
Yeah, we're really excited. We know it's going to be a really hyped up game. There's going to be a lot of people watching. It'll be 1-2. Yeah, we've had a bye week, so we've been preparing hard. And New Canaan's a great program, so it's going to be a really hard fought game. And we're just really excited to play them.
Is it good that the bye week came now just to give you a little chance to rest up and do a little advanced planning and then get back into your normal routine this coming week?
Yeah, I think it's definitely beneficial for us. You know, New Canaan, like I said, they're a great program. They have a lot of stuff they're running. They run a lot of different formations, so it gives us some extra time to get prepared on the defensive side to kind of understand what they're doing and prepare best for what they're going to throw at us on Friday. So, yeah, I think it's definitely beneficial for us having the bye week.
I'm going to be doing something with both coaches in a couple days, a little something special to hype up the game. But, you know, your coach, Tony Morello, and Lou Marinelli have talked about it's a big game. You both want to win, but it's a friendly rivalry. Both coaching staffs have been really close over the years. Do you guys look at it, the players, the same way? I don't know if you know their players much, but is it a healthy rivalry as it appears, where a lot of mutual respect, but you both want to win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, personally, I don't know many of their players. I don't think many of our players know many of their players, but I don't think there's any like bad blood between us. I think, yeah, it's like you said, it's like a healthy rivalry, and we're both just going to be – they're a great program. We've got a pretty good program, so it's going to be two good programs going at it against each other, looking to just be number one in the state. That's pretty much the stakes for this game. I mean, it doesn't really have any playoff implications because we're in different classes. So, yeah, it's going to be – I think it's a healthy rivalry, but it should be a great game.
Yeah, you stole my next question. I was going to say you're in double L there in L, so you can't see each other again. After this game, if you should both win out, and I've got to think in the state rankings, after the game, you'll still be 1-2. I don't know that if either of you would drop with a loss, but is that something you guys kind of talk about? Your coach called it the most hyped game that doesn't mean anything, and he meant it in that standpoint, but obviously everybody would like to be number one at the end, so is that kind of the rallying cry for you guys?
Yeah, you know, we have our, like, before the season, we have our goals, and one of those goals is to be number one in the state, so, and we knew coming into this season that, like, if we wanted to be number one in the state, we wanted to reach that goal, we're going to have to beat New Canaan October 24th. So, yeah, we know that's a goal for us, but, yeah, that's what we're working for. But, like you said, there's no playoff implications, so we're not going to see this team again. It's more almost kind of like just a bragging rights game to be number one. But the ultimate goal is to win a state championship. So with even if this game were not to go our way, we still have we can still reach our ultimate goal. But being number one is definitely something we want. So we're taking this game very serious, and we're going to do everything we can to win the game.
Sean, jump right in.
So, Jackie, I mean, you kind of just answered it. I know your coach is and your coach is unbelievable, good friend of mine. But I know he's saying it's just another game that doesn't mean nothing. But you guys got to know when you go to bed Thursday night and you wake up Friday morning, it's got to feel just a little bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this, for our practice this past week, this is the most kind of fired up I think our team has been. We're super excited to get after. We know that everybody's going to be watching, and yeah, that'll come with some nerves, but we're super excited. We fully want to win this game. We feel like we have to win this game. And we're just fired up to get out there, and you know, New Canaan's a great program, but we're just going to give them everything we have.
Yeah. And what you guys have been doing defensively this year has been tremendous. The whole unit, you know, obviously led by you and you know, Justin Santi, the other linebackers, but I can't wait to be there. But what do you obviously, without giving away anything, what's it like watching film and then you look across and you're like, okay, there's Andrew Esposito on the other side?
Yeah, you know, he's an amazing player. We've definitely been watching him. They've got great players all over that offense, so you know, we know it's going to be a tall task this week, but I think our coaches believe in us, and we trust in our coaches. Our coaches install great game plans every week. So we're just going to trust in our coaches, and they're going to trust in us to execute their game plan. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the game.
Well, good, Jack. Best luck, man. There's going to be a lot of people watching. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Jack, I don't know if this is a game within a game or not, but we probably got the two best linebacking crews, you, Sandy Parra, and Justin Carroll. Sonny and Justin are among the state leaders in tackles. You have to do a little bit of double duty as well with running back, but you look over and New Canaan's got a terrific trio as well. Is there a game within a game just with your linebackers where you're maybe saying we want to prove we're the best linebackers in the state?
I mean, we haven't really talked about that or touched on that aspect of it. But, yeah, you know, they have, obviously, like you said, a great linebacking core. They got an amazing defense over there. So, yeah, I guess so. We'll see who can be the better group on Friday. But I wouldn't say it's like a game within a game. I mean, the mindset we go into every week is like we kind of have something to prove. So that's going to be the same. We're going to keep it the same on Friday. And if it becomes a game within a game, I guess it will. But we're just going to, me, Justin, Santi, we're going to go in with the same mentality we've been going in the past, this year, this season, last season. It's just we got something to prove, and we're looking to make a statement on Friday.
Is there, just to break it down, is there one key to the game in your eyes, just based on knowing what you do, knowing what they do? Is there one key in your eyes that might tip the scale in either team's favor?
Yeah, I think for on the defensive side of the ball, at least for us, we just got to kind of control their explosive plays. I think that's been a big emphasis. We know they have a lot of explosive players on their offense, so we're going to look to control their explosive plays and, you know, kind of just do what we do on defense, just slow the game down, be physical, be violent, and, yeah, should be a great game.
I kind of looked this up. I've been thinking about it, and I posted it. It's got to be – I don't remember a school having a better fall than you guys are having right now. You're unbeaten. Boys soccer's unbeaten. Volleyball's unbeaten. Who's the other team? Boys soccer, volleyball. Girls soccer, one loss. Oh, your swimming team. I mean, is there any kind of talk at all or any just kind of feeling about how good Greenwich Falls sports have been?
I mean, yeah, I guess there's a good amount of school spirit for our sports teams in the fall right now. I think the student sections are getting into it. And we're just having a lot of fun with it. I think that's the most important part, is that we're all having fun. And, you know, the other teams, the soccer and the volleyball and field hockey, all of them, they're all doing their own thing. And they're working hard, too. So it's good that everybody's getting recognition.
Greenwich could win a lot of championships over the coming weeks. It's pretty cool. Well, Jack, congratulations on what you've done so far. And, hey, it's going to be a heavyweight fight Friday, and I can't wait to watch it. So congratulations on what you guys have done so far, and best of luck Friday night and beyond, and thanks for taking a little bit of time here with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that's Greenwich's Jack Kelly, and we're going to take a break. And on the other side, we're going to come talk to New Canaan's Mikey Harriman. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. We're still talking as we start the Rudin Report hype of 1-2 Friday night. And joining us right now, part of one of the other two top linebacking crews in the state, Mikey Harriman from New Canaan. Mikey, how you doing?
Doing well. Really excited for Friday, obviously.
Is it one of those things where you sort of have it, you put it on the you circle it, and then you kind of compartmentalize as you get through these games, and now it's like finally here. And I mean, Dunning is just going to be hopping on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. The team is excited. It's definitely, you know, one of those games you sort of circle on the calendar and, you know, can't help but look forward to. But, you know, for us, it's no different. It's, you know, we're just going to go 1-0, you know, on a Friday night and just try to make it the best game possible and do the things we need to do to make that happen.
What do you need to do? What do you see as being some of the keys to the game?
Well, I mean, you know, Greenwich is a tremendous team with, you know, a lot of tremendous athletes. And for us, it's just doing, you know, the parts, you know, not shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, in terms of penalties and, you know, playing to the highest of our potential on both sides of the ball and not limiting ourselves with things that we can control.
This defense, again, is lights out. Your linebacking unit is lights out with you and Ryan Brooks and Jack Crowell. What, and you've been with the program a while. What's been the key? And obviously, Chris Silvestri as defensive coordinator is one big constant, but you have to have the players too. What's been the key to having such dominant defenses for such a long period of time? It wasn't so long ago that we all talked about New Canaan and their big passing game and offense.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, you can't help but accredit, you know, Coach Silvestri. What he does for us every year is tremendous. You know, I think every year, you know, we might not always have the best athletes, but I think we have a very good and coherent defense, and I think he's a big part of that. And we're just a lot of, you know, good players that, you know, do our jobs, don't get greedy, and just play really, really solid defense is what it comes down to.
It seems like your cohesion as a unit has been the other constant, and sometimes it's been guys we know about, and sometimes it's guys that new starters that we don't really know about till the end of the year. But you guys, just last year, this year, the last 3 years, it just seems to be a really, really cohesive unit.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that speaks to the sort of program we have and, you know, how we really, really develop kids from the ground up. And, you know, we have no doubt of, you know, once we start a kid, you know, he's going to do his job and do the things he needs to do. And it's, you know, that really speaks to the coaching staff and, you know, how well they coach from the ground up.
I'm not sure if you came through did you come through the youth football program in New Canaan?
Yeah, I started in the seventh grade, so a little late for New Canaan standards, but, you know, I did definitely play in youth.
Everybody asked me how does New Canaan sustain it, and we saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I always said come to youth football night and see how many kids there are out on the field. That's how they sustain it. What, you know, talk a little bit as an insider, the whole dynamic of how New Canaan youth football serves as a feeder program and how it works its way up to the high school.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, like you said, it's all the youth players that come and support us on, you know, Friday nights, because ultimately, you know, they'll be in our shoes and they'll be the ones on the field. But I think, you know, we have a great, great coaching staff that not only coaches at the varsity level, but a lot of our varsity coaches also coach youth, which I think helps a lot. And, you know, we coach the same systems and in terms of our offense and defense in youth as we do in varsity. And I think that helps transition them from, you know, youth, then to freshman, then to junior varsity, and then ultimately varsity. And I think that's what really, really, you know, trains the kids to sort of be ready to play at the varsity level.
Sean, jump on in.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Great job this year so far. Would you rather have played Greenwich this past weekend, or are you do you like having the bye just to get a little more preparation?
You know, I think ultimately for, you know, a great team like Greenwich is, it's great to have the extra time. And I know, you know, personally, it really helps, you know, heal up the guys and get them excited and, you know, get morale up. Not that we need that for such a big game like this, but I think the extra preparation definitely doesn't hurt.
That is good. I agree with that. You know, extra preparation for a big team is always good. Now, we said this before that, you know, both coaches are saying that it's just another game. It's another game that, you know, you guys are not in the same class, so it's not going to affect, you know, where you guys see each other again and all that stuff. But, I asked Jack Kelly this, and I'll ask you the same thing. When you wake up, when you go to bed Thursday night, is it going to be just a little bit different waking up Friday morning knowing that you're playing Greenwich?
I think in terms of it mattering to me, I think this is a very big game, but it's ultimately not going to affect a lot. So I think in terms of games that don't affect a lot, this is the most exciting game this year, if that makes any sense. I think it'll definitely be a different kind of game when I go to bed that night. But, you know, at the same time, it's not going to, you know, change a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. And you kind of alluded to this with Coach Silvestri. And Dave and I, he's been on Dave's show before. And he used this, he said this analogy one time. He's like, everybody on defense is a different tool in the shed. Each tool is different, but they all work together to have the same goal. And, you know, what you guys are doing right now, you haven't let up more than one touchdown in a game. You're averaging 6 points a game. You know, do you agree with that comment that, like, hey, everybody has a different role? And you kind of said already, you know, don't get greedy. Just do what you're supposed to do, and good outcomes will happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Coach Silvestri definitely coaches us to, you know, be different tools in the toolbox. You know, as good as they are, you wouldn't want, you know, 11 Ryan Brookses on a defense, because then you wouldn't have anyone to play DB. You want, you know, you want a really, really balanced defense. And I think, you know, from every one of our defensive coaching staffs, they really, really hone in the skills to make a coherent defense. You know, our DB is doing what they got to do, our linebacker core doing what they got to do, and obviously D-line. But body types-wise, I think we do a great job of, you know, categorizing what each player can do for the team. And I think that's part of what contributes to our success.
Well, Mike, I just want to say best of luck. There's going to be a lot of people there. Enjoy it. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Best of luck.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Is this something, and the Greenwich coach called this the most hyped game that doesn't mean anything? And as you said, you guys are in different classes. So in terms of your long-term goals, it's not gonna really have that big an impact. Where it will is, I think you guys will still be 1-2 in the polls afterwards, and unless I would think it's a good shot of that, unless it's an absolute blowout on one side. But where it will have an impact is where, if you guys both went out finishing number one in the final state poll, is that something you talk about, and is that still a little source of pride for you, since you did it last year and you're the preseason number one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, first off, it's taking it one game at a time. And, you know, right now, Greenwich is that team. And, you know, we definitely acknowledge that that's possibly in the cards. But, you know, right now it's just, you know, beat Greenwich and do the things we need to do. I don't know if we're thinking that far ahead right now.
I asked Jack this, and your coaches are so close. The good thing about this, and do you agree that it's a healthy rivalry? You guys have a lot of mutual respect. It's not going to be, you know, there are some teams you play that you don't really like. This just seems like it's really two really good teams that are just going to go at it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tremendous respect for, you know, not only the Greenwich players, but the Greenwich coaching staff. You know, they have a tremendous program over there, and I'm sure it's, you know, it's been shown this season that they're a great football team. And I don't think there's any animosity between our teams. We're just two very, very strong programs that happen to be 1-2 and are going to have a great game come Friday night.
Okay, the one thing you guys got to do, you got to tell your fans on Friday night, they got to stay after halftime.
Yeah, for sure. We I'm friends with the bomb squad leader, and he's trying to, you know, have some sort of measure so that they don't leave and sort of stay. But, you know, the goal with us is that, you know, it's an entertaining enough game that they don't feel that they need to leave. But
yeah, they got to stay. They you and New Canaan and Darien fans have to stay for the second half of games. But that's the least of your concerns, Mikey. It's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to being there and watching it. And I wish you and your teammates the best of luck, and thanks for taking time here to talk with us a little bit about it.
Yeah, of course. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mikey Harriman. Sean, before we go real quick to break, it's two great players on two great teams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I've never met them before. They sound like great kids too. They really do. I can't wait for this. I can't imagine being in their shoes. You know, like, I'm excited, and I have nothing to do with the game at all.
It's going to be fun. I've interviewed them both. They're both two class guys. Why don't we take a break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the New Canaan Greenwich game. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back for final half hour. Sean, why don't we flip the order we're going to do this and keep riding the wave of New Canaan Greenwich. I'm not even sure what the – yeah, I was just thinking during the break here what the betting line should be on the game, and I think I'd make it because they've got home field, something like New Canaan given two. How about am I accurate or am I off?
Yeah, I think it's accurate. I could even say you can even say it's a pick 'em. You know, I think you know, they're two very good teams. If you want to give a slight edge to New Canaan, I guess you could. But if you told me you want to give a slight edge to Greenwich, I would be okay with that too. You know, I just think they're two evenly matched teams. Greenwich had that little tiny hiccup against Norwalk, but besides that, they've been playing unbelievable. New Canaan's offense got to pick it up a little bit. They scored 43 points against Danbury, but, you know, they didn't score against St. Joe's, you know. Slight edge to New Canaan. That's what I'm going with.
I'd go real, real slight edge to New Canaan. Some of that's the home field advantage. A couple of keys to the game, and I have no idea what to expect. You have two good offenses and two good defenses. I don't know if this is going to be a lower scoring game. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I could see it, you know, a moderate to low scoring game, but to me there are two keys, and both teams and the guys just alluded to it, penalties and making sure you don't commit them and playing a clean game. Both teams have been occasionally hurt by penalties, and something like that in a game like this could be a big factor. And the other thing that I think is going to be key is what kind of positions both teams put their quarterbacks in, because you have two first-year quarterbacks who have only played five games. You got Maddox Hoffman, the senior at New Canaan, and you have a sophomore, Phil Tarantino, in Greenwich. And both have looked really good at times, and both have looked like first-year quarterback at times. I think you want to play the game so that you don't put either guy in the position where they have to win the game. You're obviously going to need strong play out of them, but I think you need to keep the game fairly close, and you don't want to put the onus on your quarterbacks. I think those are two of the keys right off the bat for me.
Yeah. The other key, too, you are right. You know, in a game like this with inexperienced quarterbacks, you want a couple of easy throws early in the game, you know, a couple hitches, a couple bubbles, slant stops, just to get a little rhythm going, then you can open it up a little bit. But you got to limit the big plays. Make the other team go on a 12-15 play drive. Don't let them score in 3-4 plays. You know, make them drive the ball on you. If you could do that, you know, you should have some success. You know, whatever team limits the big plays is going to be the one that comes out on top.
No, I don't disagree with that. You don't want Andrew Esposito going and catching a 75-yard touchdown pass, and you don't want Hector Lopez making a 75-yard touchdown run, and both guys are capable of of doing both. So I agree with you on that. What do you think, high or low scoring game? I really don't know.
I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I think it's going to be like a 14-10, you know, maybe 17-14. I think it's going to be a very close game, but I don't think any team scores over 20 points.
You know, part of me wants to say that, and that's what it looks like on paper, but with both good offenses and thinking maybe somebody, you know, with two good coaching staff, somebody breaks a good play, I'm thinking, you know, maybe 24-21, though my instincts agree with you. It's a hard game to get a feel for, but both defenses have been the one real constant for both teams. The offenses are really strong and potent, but the offenses have been contained a little bit, and the offenses have hurt themselves with penalties at times.
Yeah, you know, they just have to be consistent. That's what it all comes down to. You can't put yourself in a 1st and 20, 2nd and 18, you know, with a holding penalty or, you know, something crazy like that. And then the other thing, Dave, we have not talked about is you cannot let up a special team score. You cannot let up a special team's big play, you know, because that just takes all the momentum away from one team, gives it all to the other. You know, your defense can be playing phenomenal, and then next thing you know, you let up a 75-yard punt return, you know, and it's like, oh, man. So, you know, limit the big plays on all sides, you know, and like I said, whoever does that the best is going to come out on top.
And it is a close game getting the special teams, the kicking game and field goals. Something else that could be, you know, this game could very well come down to a field goal or two, and you need to maximize your opportunities there as well.
Yeah, yep. You know, no mistakes, and, you know, battlefield position too. You know, don't do anything stupid, you know, around midfield, you know, punt the ball away, pin them deep, you know, let them drive on you. But it's going to be exciting, I can tell you that.
And two good, really good defensive coordinators. We talk all the time about Sly, Chris Silvestri, and rightly so. And if he ever decided to leave New Canaan, which I don't think he'd ever do because he could have before, he would be at the top of the list for almost any other athletic director in the state. But Brian Hochter, who does have head coaching experience, he's been the defensive coordinator there for a long time, and he does a great job as well. And I want to make sure, while we're talking up Chris, that he gets his due also.
Yeah, Hochter, he's an unsung hero. You know, he does a lot of work on that staff. And you mentioned it, he does have head coaching experience. You know, I got to give a shout to my boy Hot Rod. You know, Rodney does a great job as well over there. But Hochter, he's very well. He's done a very good job over there. He definitely knows his X's and O's. You know, look at the numbers they're putting up on defense. Also, you know, they haven't let up more than a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. You know, so credit to Hawk.
You know Rodney?
Oh, I know Rodney. Rodney's the best.
We were supposed to go out to dinner Thursday. I have a restaurant in Bridgeport that I love. I'm going to have to get the name of one of the top Norwalk soccer players from a few years ago, maybe during the break. But there's a Norwalk sports dad from one time. But a restaurant ownership in Bridgeport, a place I go to all the time, I'll give it a plug, 29 Markle Street. It's fantastic. And I found out Rodney knows the owners as well. So he and I were supposed to have dinner there on Thursday night. And then he had another commitment come up, so we're going to do it this week. But Rodney also is the best.
Yeah, Rodney's good. A lot of energy. Brings a lot of energy to that staff. He knows his stuff too. And that's the thing that, you know, goes unnoticed too, Dave. You know, the New Canaan's, the Greenwiches, you know, coaching staffs are tremendous. You know, the head coaches and the coordinators get all the credit, deservedly so, but it's also the position coaches too. You know, the dedication they put in, you know, the film, everything, you know, you name it. They're doing all the same stuff. But when you go to a Greenwich and New Canaan and you shake hands at the end of the game and they're, you know, you're shaking 35 coaches' hands, you know, it can be a little intimidating sometimes.
You got Bruce Cunningham, a longtime Wilton coach on the staff at Greenwich. You have Jason Miska on the staff, and he's also the strength and conditioning coach. I'll miss somebody, but just a lot of really good coaches, and it's fun for me because they're good guys. When I get to Greenwich for a game, usually I see Hawk first, and I'll talk with him a little bit and some of the coaches, and same with New Canaan. It kind of feeds from the real top. Lou Marinelli, New Canaan, and Tony Morrell, Greenwich, really, really like each other, and that will become apparent with something they're going to do with me later in the week. But it's just, you know what, they're two class coaches, and it all feeds down right throughout their programs.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about coaching, you have to start with Coach Marinelli. You know, he's been there for a long time. Obviously, most wins, you know, but how he cares for his program, but he also cares about the league, you know, and I could tell stories about, you know, what he's done for Norwalk High, you know, things he doesn't have to do, you know, just reaching out, you know, seeing if whatever it might be, you know. Lou's at the top of the list of, you know, genuine, nice people. Tony's great, you know, what he's doing there, you know, since Johnny left. You know, he's just keeping it rolling year in, year out. So two great coaches and completely great staffs over there.
Yeah, I don't think Tony gets enough credit, John Marinelli. And I remember when this game was the Marinelli Bowl not too long ago. But Johnny built the state champion there. And that was a tough situation, and John's the one who recommended Tony for the job, and it's turned out to be a good thing for Greenwich football. So why don't we take our final break here, and when we come back, Sean and I will talk a little bit about the second half of the season. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back for our final spot. Sean, I looked it up. You remember a kid a few years ago, Miles Sawyer?
Miles Sawyer? Oh, yeah, of course I know Miles.
Okay, Miles, that's the Miles' father, Damon, is one of the owners of 29 Markle, and he's the chef there. And it's an absolutely tremendous restaurant in downtown Bridgeport, right near the amphitheater. And my brother, and through my brother, I befriended them and found out that Rodney knows them as well. So I'm hoping we're gonna finally have dinner there this week. But it was Miles Sawyer's dad.
Oh, yeah, Miles was great.
All right, let's finish up here. Why don't we talk about some of the storylines that we're going to go through in second half of the season. I'm looking here at some of the things that I put down. One is six teams in the top 10, who stays, and associated with that as well is the question of Darianne and how good is Darianne. And you know, we talked early in the year about the difficult schedule, and Darianne's got a difficult one coming up, and talked about not the just difficult schedule, but is it possible one of the top teams could be the one that has a hard time beating the others. And right now, just because Darianne lost to Staples by such a large margin, they would be the one that you would say is most susceptible to being in that category. So that's my first storyline. Which of the six teams in the top 10 stays, and how good is Darianne? Because I honestly don't know.
Yeah, the good thing, Dave, we'll find out Saturday, you know. So they're playing at St. Joe's, so we'll know exactly, you know, we'll find out how good they are this week. You know, I agree with you. You know, when you lose by that margin, you know, to a good team, and it looks like that Massac win, if I saw Massac, I think, got crushed maybe this past weekend. So that win over Massac.
Killingly killed them.
Yeah, so that
Massac. Killingly's also the number three team in the state.
Right. But, you know, it's not looking as good as it did, you know, a couple weeks ago. So we're going to find out. You know, they're a good team, but are they a top 10 team? Not sure.
Well, they're going to go against one of the top defenses in the state. They're talking about the great defenses of Greenwich, New Canaan, and St. Joseph also hasn't allowed a point their defense in 9 quarters. So that, to me, is one interesting storyline. And which of the 6 teams, how many of the 6 teams, if I had to guess, I would say I'd say 4 to 5.
Yeah, I mean, obviously New Canaan, you know, they're deserving. Greenwich deserving. Wilton deserving. I think St. Joe's is very deserving. And then that just leaves you right at that Staples team. You know, are they 10? Are they out? Again, I find it tough. When you lose 41-7, you know, is there that big of a discrepancy from, you know, the fifth best team in the state to the 10th? You know, do we just chalk it up that they just had one bad game? I don't know. But when you lose 41-7 to anybody, I think it's tough saying that they deserve to be in the top 10 at this point. And again, they have a tough second half schedule. They can very easily go 5-0 the second half, and then you say, oh yeah, they're definitely top 10. They're top 5, top 2. You know, but as of right now, that's a big if.
Now that game, they're not normally a 34-point. There's not a 34-point difference between the teams, but there certainly were. It certainly was that night. And we've talked about, you know, the balanced schedules, and we're going to have now back-ended all these top teams playing each other. We'll have one or two games a week like we do this weekend. But you look at each of the teams has like one or two league games where they're a pretty heavy favorite. New Canaan have played those games already. New Canaan has played the tough games already, so they've got one or two easier games coming up. Greenwich hasn't played those yet. They got to come off New Canaan, and they finish with Ludlow, Wilton, Darien, and Staples.
Yeah, their whole schedule, you know, nobody thought Trumbull's going to be where they are now. Their second half schedule to end the season, Trumbull, New Canaan, Ludlow, Wilton, Darien, Staples, that's tough. And the best thing about Coach Morello, he's like, we'll play whoever. You know what I mean? That's what I love about him. There are big games. You know, I have the rest of the season written down. You know, there's three big games every week from here to the end, which I think is awesome. You know, this is what it's all about. You know, a little unfortunate. You know, like looking at the standings, there's a 2-3 team. If the season ended right now, you know, Trumbull makes the state playoffs with a 2-3 record. Way too watered down. They got to fix that. But that's the topic for a different day, Dave. But, a lot of big games second half of the year. And the one that I have penciled in, Dave, and I mentioned it to you before the show, week 7, Norwalk at whoever wins that game is probably in the driver's seat to make the state playoffs. Whoever loses, probably out.
That's one on my list here, too, in terms of, especially since we talked about Norwalk so much early on and the fact that they also were competitive against Greenwich for a long period of time in that game. But Norwalk could win out. Danbury's going to be their most difficult game. Is Norwalk going to show the discipline and you know, be able to perform and play up to their capabilities? Because Double L is easy to get into. And if they run the table and go 7-3, they're going to be another team in the state playoffs.
Yeah, but this year Norwalk is actually L.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's right. Norwalk fell to L.
Yeah.
My bad.
If they beat Danbury, they could go 7-3. I'm not, you know, Norwalk plays McMahon. You never know. Ward will find out this weekend how good they really are. You know, but if they go 7-3, they're going to be right on that edge. They're going to be they could be the 8 seed. They could be the 9 seed. You know, they're going to be right there.
They're going to need some help.
Yeah, they're going to need some help. Danbury, I think, could still get in at 6-4 just because Double L is just so watered down. You know, after the top four teams, it's I shouldn't say that. You know, West Haven.
6-4 might get you into Double L.
Yeah, or it could get you in. So
that's why, and that's a subject for another day. This is all the more reason why the state playoffs are watered down, and you can't have six divisions. Just think if you consolidated Double L and L, what that would look like. Yeah, you'd have one or two good teams that don't get in, but that's why you have the regular season. You would just have – the state playoffs could be so good if the state didn't keep stepping on itself.
Yeah. If you combine Double L and L, I mean, that tournament would be a – whew. That would be a gauntlet, you know, and if whoever comes out on top is the deserving number one overall state champ. But, yeah, it's just way too watered down. Our state's way too small to have six state champions, I can tell you that.
Quickly as we finish up, I think another possible storyline, we talk about Greenwich's schedule and these final five games. It could be them, it could be someone else, but if a really good FCAC team should get knocked out early in the state playoffs, I think when they look and the league looks for year two at the balanced schedule, they may have to reevaluate. Did we make it so difficult that the team couldn't play well in the states? They were too beat up.
Yeah. I know that it could happen. I think they do have to do some tweaking. They really do. You know, it's great for us this year because every week there's multiple big games. But I think they do have to do just a little bit of tweaking.
Okay, well, good show today, Sean. Thanks a lot to Jack Kelly and to Mikey Harriman. I think we'll have some stuff to talk about, Sean. Have a good week.
You too, Dave.
All right, thanks, everybody. New Canaan, Greenwich, Friday night. Darien, St. Joseph, Saturday. We'll see you next Sunday.